Always great to have your company for Dwayne's World. Head back to your calls and your texts very shortly if you want to jump on the line. The number 1300 736 736. That's the open line number. It's brought to us by Werribee Kia. And you can drop down and have a chat to David and Janan and Aid and Jim and the team at Werribee Kia. They'd love to see you if you're in the market for a new or used car. Has been essentially announced, because so many people are reporting it, that there's going to be around a 100% pay rise for the AFLW players. AFL women players will receive a minimum of around $39,000 per their season and around $71,000 as a top-tier player. But, of course, players do have the opportunity to earn more than that as marquee players. So that's hopefully going to be announced by the AFL in about an hour from now. But the good news is we've got Alex Saundry, who's been good enough to join me, prominent AFLW player manager from More Than Management, to give us the latest. Firstly, Alex, welcome back to the program. Great to have you on.
Dwayne, great to be on, mate. Probably a really exciting day for the competition.
Yeah, so has it been officially announced yet, or are you still waiting for the announcement from the AFL headquarters and from Gill and from the AFL PA boss, Paul Marsh?
Yeah, we've got a call from an agent's perspective at 2:30 this afternoon, which I would assume will be, you know, told what's happening and whatnot in terms of figures. But I've had a number of players call me today, so to get some advice on, you know, whether it is a step in the right direction, the right step, and you know, just coming to me for advice, which is what they do. But we've spoken to a number of players this morning in relation to that, because they're in the midst of voting for the respective CBA deal that is 1 year long.
So they will have to vote on that this afternoon, that it'll be 1 year, and they have to give that the yes?
Yes. Yeah, they do. There has to be a certain percentage. I think it's above 75% of players need to vote yes for the deal to go through. So it's about a 94% pay increase of all tiers moving forward. And as you rightly said, Dwayne, it's about a 71. For tier one, it's what I've heard is about 71 from what the reports are today, and then about 39 for tier four, you know. And to kind of give the viewers some insight, it gives the girls some flexibility in terms of not having to, I guess, work as much in their part-time jobs and being able to afford things such as rent and whatnot. So it hopefully will help alleviate, but also give back to the girls in terms of the, you know, they have 6 months off season and they're still expected to train and stay at a certain level of fitness for the entire 12 months. So it'll give back to them in that regard too, Dwayne.
So do the group you're managing look like they will accept this deal, a 1 year and this new deal, they'll vote yes today?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the AFLPA and the delegates have done an absolute mountain of work to really demonstrate what the players wanted. And there was rumours that the AFL were wanting a 3-year deal, and that, you know, the Players Association and the players stuck together. And I think it's been the most collaborative year I reckon both have had. In the past there's been some angst between the AFLW players and the AFLPA, but I feel as though there's been some, you know, a very united front towards the AFL in terms of negotiating, and I think everyone's on the same page moving forward that we want to keep growing this competition and give these girls the ability to fast track what will be full-time AFLW. The best way we're going to get the product to be better is to get these girls full-time quicker and give them the opportunity to train full-time and recover full-time and prepare full-time.
Yeah, so that's my next question, I suppose. When do we think we might get it'll be a 17-game season with 18 teams in it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that's the main reason why the AFLPA and the AFLW players have only done a 1-year deal. You know, the ball was really in the players' court with the season change. So they really stuck together and made sure this deal really benefited them and where they want to go. They want to play, you know, 18 games in every team in the competition quicker. They want to fast track that. In my point of view is when, you know, you play every single team across 18 rounds, it brings great integrity to the competition because you're versing every single team and you're not versing a skewed team, which, you know, the talent pool's very spread and it's very spread thin, particularly in the region of New South Wales and whatnot. So it'll be very interesting to see how we go this year.
So jumping from a 10-game season to an 18 season will essentially double the pay again when we get to that point, won't it? Because your season will be twice as long, twice as many games, even though you're essentially being made full-time with this pay increase to allow you to train 10 months of the year anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I think hopefully by then, you know, the hourly rate goes up for different players as well. The hourly allowance at the football club, I hope, will go up. And then obviously the more games they play, the longer they're going to need to be at the club, the more hours they're going to need to be paid for. So I hope by the time we reach 18 games that we're a fully fledged full-time competition and one of, you know, the world's best female programs that the AFLW is presenting as the best product.
Which would mean a top tier of pay of what per year, Alex, when we've got an 18-team, 17-game season?
With the current model at the moment, Dwayne, I would assume that it'd probably be around 140, 150, plus the additional services agreement. So you're probably seeing some of the big players on potentially between 200 to 250 to 300 grand, which is bloody exciting, mate. You know, 5 years ago, did we think we'd be here? Did we think we deserved to be here? Absolutely. But, you know, it's a credit to the AFL players in their approach to their game and the AFLPA and the work they've done for this current deal and the work the AFL has done to get it across the line with the PA.
And it is amazing how many people, we all know who Erin Phillips is. We all know who Daisy Pearce is. The growth of the competition is such that I think we all are not just amazed by how great it is that we've got women's football now, but the growth factor's been great. So the players themselves, are they going to be extremely happy with this deal overall, do you think? Will there be any objectors to it?
Dwayne, I think it's a step in the right direction, absolutely. You know, we would all argue that it's a late step in the right direction. But, you know, with the players, they would definitely agree that, you know, this should have happened ages ago. The minimum wage and, you know, what the hourly rate is shouldn't have been the rookie amount. It should definitely be the same as the male players and their counterparts for the hourly wage associated. So the likes of, you know, Daisy Pearce, Erin Phillips, Katie Brennan, Darcy Vecchio, Taylor Harris, the ones that really put this competition on the map, you know, they'll reap some of these benefits. But the longer term aspects of it, you'll see Maddie Prestakis, Georgie Prestakis, Montana Ham, Ella Roberts, Elise Parker and whatnot, you know, really read the benefits of what these girls and people have been able to do and set the standard high.
How's the depth going to be, Alex, in the coming years? What have we got coming through? We do know that we've had a number of, you know, blossoming AFLW competitions in the suburbs, and there's been a lot of an uptake from, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls. Is that going to, you know, see a lot of these young players come through and give us the depth immediately?
Absolutely. The draft and the depth in this year's draft is sensational. You've got one of the, you know, the best draft prospects in the country over in WA and Ella Roberts, one of the best draft prospects across the country in Victoria, Montana Ham, Charlotte Baskaran and, you know, Zali Goldsworthy, and they're four girls that I'm really lucky to manage. But the talent and, you know, this draft is as best as, you know, Press Parker's Hanks and Parker draft that I think is one of the most famous drafts at the AFLW draft. So the talent just keeps getting better. The girls keep getting fitter and stronger. And, you know, it's a weird time for these girls. The fact that they'll probably miss the first 3 weeks of pre-season and the unknown in terms of completing year 12 and playing AFLW footy and the expectation that brings while having to complete things like your VCE and your HSC, it's a bit of unknown territory. So it'll be a bit of finding their feet for those young girls, but I'm sure they'll have great support of the club and the AFL to do so. But, yeah, Dwayne, the talent just keeps getting better, mate, and it's exciting, and it's great to be able to go to, you know, the Under-18s All-Australia and the NAB Leagues and the Under-18s Championship and watch these girls blossom. And, yeah, it's incredible. Some amazing talent coming out of it. South Australia next year. Lauren and Sinead, they're guns.
So are all of the girls happy with an August start, or are there some that don't think that's the right spot for the season start?
I think, you know, the August start has, in my opinion, it's hurt some expansion clubs being able to sign some talent, given the fast turnaround asking people to move to places like Sydney and, you know, over at Hawthorn that they're, you know, starting in 2 years in Dingley and different things like that. So I think it's hurt the expansion competition in that right way, but the August start date for the girls, it's a big ask to play two seasons in 1 year, but I'm a big believer that rip the band-aid off, get it sorted, get it done, and get this competition to fully flight that has the best possible chance to have great numbers, great ratings, great bums on seats, and celebrate in conjunction with the men's season. So it seems like that, you know, round one of the AFLW will start in the men's finals the bye weekend, which is a great time to start it. And then, you know, our grand final AFLW won't clash with the men's finals or round one or two. So I think it's the right time for the competition. It doesn't clash with big events such as the Australian Open and whatnot. So I think the thought process and the thinking around it's correct. And, you know, fully support the AFL in any attempt to try and draw more fans, draw a bigger audience, which drives better commercial value and better outcomes financially for these young girls coming through trying to make a full-time competition.
And do they feel they've got the full support of the men's players?
It's a good question. I haven't probably directly asked them that. We don't talk too much about, I guess, that support. That support is a given. You know, if the club's supporting those players, then the men support it. How that joint CBA, a potential joint CBA, comes about, I can't probably speak enough with enough knowledge to that, as I haven't spoken to my players about it. But, I think the men support. You see the likes of Patrick Dangerfield, you know, one of the biggest advocates for the game, and he's the, you know, president of the Players Association. So I think there's great representation, great buy-in. Zach Merritt was a part of a lot of, you know, expansion discussions for Essendon's side, and Essendon met Manny Press-Barker. They had people like Zach Merritt and Dyson Heppel involved, and just some really invested clubs that, you know, are really looking to start to, you know, turn the pages. And they know, particularly commercially, jointly, it's a better product. All companies want diversity. They want, you know, equality. So it's a great commercial product as well for the competition in each club.
Yeah, obviously, there's a lot of companies that want to be involved in the whole product. I mean, Chemist Warehouse is a good example. You know, Murray on the team want to be involved in the whole AFL product, which means supporting AFLW and having that. I'm not sure how much they'd, you know, love it if there was no AFLW. They want to be able to sponsor the men's and the women's competition as a whole. Do you think the broadcast rights deal is going to have an extra add to it? Because now, all of a sudden, you've got a all of Australia male and female product to offer a broadcaster?
Yeah, absolutely, Dwayne. I think this broadcast deal is going to be a complex one for Gill. It was widely noted that they were heading over to the States to look at the streaming services and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a lot more complex than the ones prior. So, you know, we're not going to be able, it's not apples for apples anymore. If they do the broadcast deal together, it's going to be a very different shaped broadcast deal with what looks like will be 12 months worth of football, on, you know, streaming, free-to-air, Seven or Fox. So, whatever happens, Gil's got a, you know, big job ahead of him in the team and Laura Kane, Brad Scott. So I don't envy them in trying to do that, but, you know, there's a lot of option out there. So being able to take the best option that's going to give the game the best possible chance to expand and grow its fan base, it helps the bottom line and the product keep growing financially and the business becoming stronger.
Great to have you, Alex. Always good to be able to talk to you. I know that, you've fed me a lot of stuff to have me understand what's going on in the AFLW space over the course of time. You've educated me and I appreciate you educating me and the listeners again today. Thanks for your time.
No worries, Dwayne. Have a great day, mate. Cheers.